Today on Real Radio.
Because of what Jesus went through this week in history, what you and I go through, he who says, I store your tears in my bottle, will someday on the other side, when we're in eternity, we will be wealthier for having suffered in this life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we continue our commemoration of Passion Week by presenting a series by Pastor Jack called Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World. We're bringing you a series of lessons by Pastor Jack that focus on the historical events that led up to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Israel's Messiah. In the part of the series we're about to hear, Pastor Jack focuses on a number of Old Testament prophecies that demonstrate the messianic status of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, if you've never been quite sure why he was presented and hailed as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this lesson is for you. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Lord is Our Passover.
1 Corinthians 5:7 says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was crucified or sacrificed for us. Oh, this is a side thought. Albert Barnes, the great old theologian, Albert Barnes writes that the procedure to take the sacrificial burnt offering that was presented at the temple, the burnt offering, they would take a lamb. This is kind of gross, but it's supposed to be gross. They would take a lamb, dead, it'd be dead. And they would take a steak, and they would insert it through the rectum, through the guts, out through in here, out through the mouth, okay? And then they would take a second steak and put it right between the armpit of the lamb, straight through the heart. I said straight through the heart, all the way through to the other side. They would pick it up and then carry it over the fire, the burnt offering, the altar of that, and set that animal down. Albert Barnes points out that if you were to grab that steak and hold it up, by proximity, it's a lamb crucified on a cross. Jesus Christ was our Passover sacrificed for us. As usual, we had a fun time in Israel. Some of the best stuff is talking to Jews who don't yet know Jesus. And I've had a great time talking to Jews who have now, that we've known, who now have since come to know Jesus. But talking to some Jews who do not yet know Jesus, it's so cute because they think they know their Bible so well. It's very, very cute. And you start talking to them. And it's really fun because it's like, what do you know? You're a Gentile. So I may be a Gentile, but the God I worship's a Jew. My God's Jewish. And so it's fun because when you're teaching the Bible in front of these people, they're acting like they're not listening. But the very first night we got into the country, we got the team together, and there were some non-believing Jews in the room. And so I just took the opportunity to just go right into the Old Testament and stay there. And I said, what's coming up, you guys? Palm Sunday's coming soon, and Passion Week's coming soon. And let's go to Exodus chapter 12 and chapter 13. And so we started there, and we talked about the Hebrew Scriptures and about the Messiah. And when you go through the Hebrew Scriptures, it's quite exciting because if you've never done it, you've got to do it. It's much easier than you might think. Jesus is in Technicolor in the Old Testament. And it was so cute because there was one Jewish guy who had become a Christian 2 years ago, and he's standing there. Well, he's standing there like this. You know, and you know how we go, praise the Lord. They just kind of, you know, they're just so expressive. They're not passive like us. And, but one sweet man, he doesn't believe. And so I see something's happening, so I really begin to turn it on. And so what that means, I went to Isaiah, and I went to Daniel and Zechariah, and going to Habakkuk, and going to Proverbs, and going to, this was it. And so afterwards, there was a little phone call going on about, what do you think? I think I upset this guy. And so the other guy on the other end used to be a non-believer, Jewish guy. Now he believes in Jesus as Messiah. And he said, are you kidding? Lay it on. Keep going. This is great. I've been praying for this. This is awesome. Super great. Why? What's happening? When you examine the Lamb of God, you got to make a decision. And you look here in Luke chapter 22, and notice, we're not talking about Jesus being offered up on Columbus Day. It's Jesus being offered up exactly when God had prescribed on the absolute Passover. And as a skeptic, how do you deal with that? How do you argue that away? The science of the Bible, how do you escape from that? You say, why do you bring that up? We're all here at church right now. We believe. I understand that. But this week in history, this week now, we ought to be sharing this more than ever. Well, I wait till Christmas to share with people. This is bigger than Christmas. We wouldn't have had an Easter unless baby Jesus would have been born. I understand that, but baby Jesus could have been born and you could have never had a salvation though. You could have never had your sins forgiven. You've got to have this week in history or you ain't got nothing. You have no salvation. You have no eternal life. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. He must die. He must die. Did you read that? I told you to circle it because these nincompoops, that's Hebrew for crazy people, these crazies think that they're going to kill him. God lays his life down when he wants and he'll take it up when he's ready. How long had Jesus been saying that? I will lay it down and I will raise it up. It's awesome. And so they conferred with one another. They're in this holy huddle, or I should say unholy huddle, a huddle from hell. Hey, let's get together and let's conspire. Okay, you deceive them. We'll pay you $30. You bring them over to us. You'll be good. You'll be fine. It's remarkable. The Bible says they were glad to give him the money, Judas. And so, listen, evil thinks it's working. Evil thinks it's doing its thing and it's getting its way. Did you know God's on the throne always? You know whatever's going on in your life, God's on the throne always? Has evil been perpetrated against you? Did you know that God watched that happen? See, why didn't he do something about it? Why didn't he prevent it from happening? Because even in the evil that's being perpetrated against us, God is going to use that for his own glory, for one thing, but also to build character within us. And in the end, listen, he's judge. Oh, God loves and God cares and God is crazy in love with you. And tonight you may be here right now or you may be listening or watching right now and your life is so messed up and you are so sideways, upside down in life. But listen, God loves you. But he's pleading with you to come to him. Because there's an end coming. And God wants you to get out of this destruction that's coming and come to Christ. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 1 says. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Is that not beautiful? Think about this Passion Week. It's from Luke 23, 26. On him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. He's talking about Simon, the Cyrenian, Simon from Africa. We see in Simon's carrying the cross a picture of the work of the church throughout all generations. She is the cross bearer after Jesus. Mark then, Christian, Jesus does not suffer so as to exclude your suffering. He bears a cross, not that you may escape it, but that you may endure it. Christ exempts you from sin, but not from sorrow. Remember that and expect to suffer. But let us comfort ourselves with this thought, that in our case, as in Simon's, it is not our cross, but Christ's cross which we carry. I like that. When you are molested for your piety, when your religion brings the trial of cruel mockings upon you, then remember, it is not your cross. It is Christ's cross. And how delightful is it to carry the cross of our Lord Jesus? You carry the cross after him. You have blessed company. Your path is marked with the footprints of your Lord. The mark of his blood-red shoulder is upon the heavy burden. 'Tis his cross. And he goes before you as a shepherd goes before his sheep. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Do not forget also that you bearing this cross is a partnership. It is the opinion of some that Simon, listen, only carried one end of the cross and not the whole of it. That is very possible. Christ may have carried the heavier part against the transverse beam, and Simon may have borne the lighter end of it. Certainly it is so with you. You do carry the light end of the cross. Christ bears the heavy end. And remember, though Simon had to bear the cross for a very little while, it gave him lasting honor. Isn't it amazing? 2,000 years later, we're talking tonight about Simon, who carried the little portion of the little journey of the cross that day. Even so, the cross we carry is only for a little while at most. And when we shall receive the crown, the glory, surely we should love the cross. And instead of shrinking back from the cross, count it very dear when it works out for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. I love Spurgeon's words. Jesus, in most likelihood, and it's just like our God, to carry the heavier part of the cross. Man, that really clears things up for me. Because so much, I feel like I'm carrying, oh, it's too much for me. Don't we all feel like that? This is too much for me. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says he will not allow us to go through, carry, bear up under something that is too great for us. He'll supply the strength. Isn't it amazing to think? See, why do I have to carry a cross at all? Didn't Jesus die on the cross? Yes. Well, then why do I have to suffer? I mean, that's a good question. First of all, let's just face the coffee or the music right now. Everybody suffers. This world suffers. You say, yeah, but I'm a Christian. Why should I have to suffer? I am convinced by faith, not by experience. I'm convinced by faith that there is something at work, there's something afoot that is so grand that you and I cannot grasp it, and it's this. If the Christian suffers like the non-Christian, and the non-Christian who suffers, suffers without any hope, there's no meaning to their suffering. They have no eternal weight of glory. They have no conformity to Jesus in their sufferings. They suffer. And when I think about sad things, that's a sad thing. That when someone who doesn't know Jesus is suffering, they are wrenched with pain, they're grinding their teeth, they're wincing and moaning. For what? The Christian will suffer the exact same pains, exact same hurt. But do you know what makes ours silver lined? Is that somehow our suffering will translate someday into eternity where we're going to really live? It is going to somehow matter there. Church, listen. Because of what Jesus went through this week in history, what you and I go through, he who says, I store your tears in my bottle, will someday on the other side when we're in eternity, it will better us off. We will be wealthier for having suffered in this life. I'm convinced by faith, according to the scriptures, that if we knew what suffering provides when it's converted into God's economy on the other side, in that other currency, in that other world, we would embrace our sufferings. I don't know this by experience. I can only receive this by faith in the Word of God. That whatever we're going through, it builds character. And you would say, who in the world cares about character in eternity? Apparently, character in eternity is going to be a big deal. Because what you and I go through now will matter then. Nothing will be lost. If Jesus Christ, who is our forerunner, suffered so greatly for our salvation, and who in his flesh, think of this, resurrected from the dead, glorified Christ, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man now, our resurrected Jesus, is our high priest to intercede for us who knows our feelings and pains, then our life there, somehow, this suffering will matter for the good. It's not without hope. You have cancer? Did you stub your toe? Are you hurting? Are you emotionally racked with something? What is it? It will matter later. And the Bible says, as Jesus there on the cross, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Do you know what that means? If I could embellish or exercise creative license, Jesus would have approached Golgotha and said, is this my spot here? Is this where I'm to be crucified here? Then let's do this. Let's get this show on the road, Mr. Centurion. Drive those stakes in to my body and lift me up high Because what you guys will someday know in eternity is that what has been set before me, what drives me to embrace this cross, is the joy that I see on the other side of the salvation of mankind. That I so love the world that I present myself to pay the sin debt that people might be forgiven if they would accept the Passover lamb. So give me that cross. He didn't run away. He could have snapped his fingers. He could have killed everybody standing there just by sucking air out of their lungs. He could have just went, no, no air for you. He could have turned the wood from that cross into a hotel. He could have snapped his finger and been back in heaven in a second. He didn't. It's awesome to think, isn't it? And so while the idiots are trying to conspire on how they might kill him, little did they know, they're fulfilling Bible prophecy, and those scribes and Pharisees had the word of God that spoke about their antics in Isaiah 53. And in Jeremiah, they were living out the scriptures to their own destruction. And I want to be careful, you want to be careful, that we do not live out the scriptures to our own destruction. This Passion Week is an amazing time. We head towards Good Friday. We head to Sunday morning. I'll end with this. I had a Christian tell me, I don't go to church on Resurrection Sunday morning. I mean, God knows I'm saved. I don't need to go. It's the only Sunday I don't go to church because there's just a full bunch of non-believers that go to church on Easter morning, Christmas and Easter. And I said, you know, I mean, he's a friend of mine. I said, man, you're weird. I said, that's really weird because you know what? If non-believers happen to come to church on Resurrection Sunday morning, that's great for them. But that's the day that we should blow the roof off the buildings of praise and worship. I mean, you should be up early in the dark dancing up and down because the tomb was found empty in the dark, you know, in the morning. We should go crazy that day, you know? I mean, you know, in some countries, people run around shooting guns in the air, celebrating. I mean, we could like, I don't know, what do we, like throw hamburgers in the air or something? I mean, what? Something radical. No, man, you know what? Don't ditch church on resurrection morning. If the non-believer knows it's the day that they should go, shouldn't you? Let's come. You know what? Honestly, if there's no room for non-believers on Sunday, that's their problem. You come and you thank God Almighty for what He's done.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called The Lord is Our Passover. We're bringing this series your way in commemoration of Passion Week. In fact, the series is called Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World. Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World. And we're offering it to you on DVD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write, just mention it by name, Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World on DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right there that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.